Statistics show that 13 Chinese cities saw an increase of over 20% in housing rent in the last year. What's pushing up the rent in Chinese cities? I suppose this is one of those issues that we cannot single it out without looking at the general housing market. And, well, actually, in recent months, we've seen that the seemingly forever rising housing price in China has actually plateaued a little bit. So, very interesting with this recent phenomenon. What exactly do the numbers show here?
Very interesting, because to see this housing rent problem coming up, so much so that the Shakedao is paying attention to it. We know Shakedao actually is the publisher's account on WeChat of the overseas edition of People's Daily. According to that article, the housing rent in 13 of China's first and second tier cities saw an increase of over 20% in the past year. And Chengdu obviously experienced the highest increase at 30.98%, followed by Shenzhen, 29.68%, and other second-tier cities including Chongqing, Xi'an, Tianjin, and Hefei. Beijing and Guangzhou also saw an increase of over 20% in the housing rent. And so I'll give you an example. So this girl named Miss Jing planned to rent a two-bedroom apartment near the Gongyi West Bridge, Gongyi Xiqiao, in Beijing by the end of June. The price at that time was about 7,500 yuan a month. Well, that was a lot of money for a two-bedroom apartment. However, when Jing came back to Beijing 10 days later from a business trip, she found the monthly rent for the same type of apartment in the same region increased by 1,000 yuan per month.
Yeah, that's a lot of increase in a matter of short days. I suppose this is probably the house hunting season to some extent, that because usually you don't see prices jump so dramatically in such a short period of time. And also to give you a little more perspective, I suppose, 7,500 yuan, that would be close to 1,100 US dollars. Mm-hmm. And then with that sudden increase, it would be close to close to 1,250 US dollars for that two bedroom.
That's a lot.
Yeah, for just a month.
Well, if you turn it into dollar terms, then it's not really a lot, because I think in the US, in the DC, we were renting an apartment, a two bedroom apartment at $2,800 a month. I mean, that's,
you said Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C., $2,800 a month. But still, 7,500 yuan a month, or about, or the figure that He Yang just mentioned, is impressive if you compare it to the amount of money that young graduates are making.
Yes, especially
it's almost all the money they're making.
Yeah, and I think a fair way to look at how expensive rent has become, I think we need to look at how much percentage-wise does it occupy your monthly income. And also, for first-tier cities in China, that means the mega cities that that comprises of more than, often it's like
20 million
people, and that's usually the permanent residents, more or less, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so these are the really big cities, and the second tier cities would be like Chengdu, and these cities are huge as well.
I lived in the Chaoyang area about 6 months ago, and I was paying about 5,000 a month. And I recently relocated to the Xijingchan area. And the rent is pretty much the same, or actually it's a little more now. And apparently, I guess 6 months ago, it wasn't exactly that expensive. But for some reason, in the past 6 months, it just went up to an extremely high amount. So it's, I was wondering, what's going on?
Well, one immediate reason that I can think of is the graduation season. People, young graduate students are leaving schools. They've found a job, but they previously relied on the school to provide accommodation. But now that they've left school, it's up to them to find accommodation. And since so many people are looking for an apartment, people just find it natural that they will want to increase the price a little bit, because it's either take it or leave it. I mean, if you don't rent the apartment, where do you got to live? I mean, in the hotel?
That's more expensive.
Or with a friend. I found that with my last job, a lot of people were that I knew were, you know, living together and just, you know, kind of share the costs, which, but, you know, that may not be for everyone, at least for myself. I'm used to I've been living alone for many years. So the idea of living with someone, it's a bit of a challenge for me.
Yeah, I think once we get a little bit older, we like our own space. And
absolutely.
You don't want to deal with dirty dishes in the sink left there for days.
Unless you are the guy who's leaving the dirty dishes in the sink.
That's right.
Yeah, that's certainly never me. Or the dirty socks or whatever it is that's left around. But that's, you know, probably the happy memories of student dormitory years. But here we're talking about people that are settling down in big cities, having their jobs, and they need housing, and for, you know, at least have a year planned kind of thing. And now there are lots of complaints, and of course I totally understand whenever it comes to the rising housing price for those who want to purchase property, and those who are like, yeah, I'll take it down a notch. I haven't really decided whether I want to permanently be located in this city. I'll just rent for the time being, or, you know, I can accumulate some wealth and experience before I get on the property ladder, all those kind of things. And now we see that there seems to be an increase, and rather sharp increase, in rent across the board. People are saying, now my living condition is going downhill. I might have to leave the city. What do you think about all this reaction from people?
Well, obviously, more and more white-collar workers moved to live outside the 6th Ring Road, in the case of Beijing, and had to spend 3 to 4 hours a day in commuting. I think that's the compromise they have to make in order to stay in the city and make a living. And many newly graduates chose to live with one or two roommates to cut their renting costs. I think that was the case for me as a young graduate. I was sharing a two-bedroom apartment with a colleague, and I think I remember having to pay about 2,000 yuan a month. And to me, the thing is, when you're renting an apartment in China, or at least in Beijing, which I'm familiar with, you have to pay, say, 3 months' rent in advance, and also a 1 month deposit. And also, if you found the apartment via an agent, you also have to pay 1 month rent for the services they rendered. So that's a lot of money. I had to rely on, or at least I borrowed some kind of money from my parents in order to fulfill the upfront payment. And that really is challenging for many young graduates. I mean, I can totally see how they try and limit the spending elsewhere, and also if they decide to go home and make a living, find a job where they can be supported by the locals or the families, the folks, I think it totally makes sense.
Well, that's one difficult decision to make in life, I suppose. To, you know, would you want to brave the world in the first or second tier cities, or go back home where the living cost is possibly significantly less, and also would be a different kind of lifestyle. You'd probably be earning less as well.
And that's true.
Yeah, this is one of those big questions that youngsters in China often have to debate in their heads and come up with something that's suitable for their own case. And certainly when we look at the situation, if we look at the percentage of people that are shelling out for their monthly rent, apparently, ideally, in the world, 20% of your monthly income goes to rent is perfect. And international practice says 30% of your monthly income goes to renting a house, that's acceptable. You'd still be living possibly a pretty comfortable life. But in China, now, according to industry insiders such as Hu Jinghui, vice president of real estate brokerage 5J Group, Yes, but now he's left that company, so possibly not surprised that he gave the statement after he left the company, that now it's common to spend 45% of your monthly income to housing. So what do you think about this burden? Or do you think this is normal? I mean, is this something that young people or renters just have to stomach?
I for myself, back home, that was definitely something that I had to consider. When I was a student, I had to work and support myself while I was in school. So a lot of my money went to
paying rent
and for gas, for driving back and forth to university.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough for a lot of people. If they can, they would like to move closer to their work to cut down on some of the gas, or, you know, just reduce your expenses as much as possible. But, you know, for me back in the, you know, California, it's just it's expensive to live. So you just have to pay what you have to pay. It's just you have to bite the bullet somewhere. So that's one of those things that you just have to do.
But however, I think, yeah, that's what you have to do. But I think it's not really healthy for someone to spend 45% of what they make into paying rent, because that way there's no hope that they can save up to eventually buy an apartment. Mm-hmm. I mean, but who is to blame here? I mean, should we blame the landlord for being too greedy, actually? Based on the housing price, or the price of a property in Beijing, at least, there are reports saying that if the landlord rents the apartment out to someone, they have to, it's going to take like 40 to 50 years until he breaks even. So who's to blame here? I mean, should we blame the landlord for being too greedy? Obviously, according to a news report that I've seen, on by Xiaoke Dao, at least they are pointing the fingers to agents, apparently, because, I personally have dealt with agents. I rent an apartment. I think I rent 3 apartments with their help. But in the first instance, I wouldn't say they helped me a lot, because I was a young graduate. I had no idea what to do when it comes to renting apartments. I just walk into a second tier, not as famous agency, and they arrange for me to look at all those apartments. Sometimes they have those traps set up for you. They say, for instance, when you look at the websites, you find a fancy, or not a fancy, just a decent apartment that's not too expensive and well located, and you want to look at them, and over the phone they'll tell you, it's okay, come over, I will show you the apartment. And once you do decide to pay them a visit, they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, that apartment is no longer available, but we do have some other options. Would you like to check out on them. And when you do spend time trying to walk through the entire neighborhood and finally decide on one apartment, there are also other traps. For instance, it could be, in my case, it was an apartment that was previously rented by a third-party agent. So at the end of the day, I had to sign a contract, a renter's contract, with a third-party renter, agent, instead of the landlord themselves. So in this case, we know that agents are in this for a profit. So whenever, every year when it's time to renew the contract, they will always claim that perhaps the landlord wanted more money, they're charging more. But who's to say that it is the landlord themselves, or is it the agency that's trying to make more money off of you? I mean, ideally you would like to sign a contract with a landlord, then that therefore you would establish a direct contact with the landlord, and everything would be negotiable. And being individual landlords, they're not as greedy as an enterprise that is developed or that is meant to make profit. So all kinds of traps that is hurting people's income, that are making people hard to make a living and also save up to buy apartments of themselves.
That's absolutely true. And I'm sure there are some helpful agents out there, but the situation has just become even more complicated to some extent, mm-hmm. if not, let's just say, kept just the ills of capitalism that's shown here, that a lot of these housing agents, now they're employed by huge, like, rental enterprises. And these big companies, they manage to hoard a lot of apartments. And sometimes we're talking about tens of thousands, if not more, apartments. And then they sort of control, to some extent, the supply of these houses available, apartments available for tenants to rent. And if they want to increase the price, they have a lot of power in this whole game. And okay, so it just seems like this is going to be a pretty tough call for the tenants when you are the individual that's desperately searching for a roof over your head for the night. And there has also been, there has also, as we can see, lots of other things going on in the market, especially last year.
Yeah.
In a lot of cities, we saw that the government has been rather aggressive in getting rid of a lot of the previously considered as illegal housing. How is that affecting the market?
Well, according to a report by research.ke.com, a domestic website doing research in the real estate industry, the recent crackdown on illegally built apartments in Beijing, which did not meet the standards of fire control safety, this results in a decrease in the number of low-quality apartments. The crackdown on illegal housing agents also resulted in the decreasing number of apartments for rent. Therefore, some renters who rented these cheap, low-quality apartments had to rent better apartments, which cost more, and the increasing demand also pushed the apartment rent to rise. So to help you understand what exactly we mean by illegally built apartments, there are some examples. For instance, like the agents that we talk about, sometimes they rent a huge apartment from a landlord and they will build walls into the apartment to sort of create more rooms and to lend it out to more people, therefore making more money. And also there are those, you know, Beijing is a relatively northern city, and where the land is relatively stable, so we built a lot of underground basements, and in a lot of cases, especially even in my neighborhood, there have been cases where people have rented out those underground basements to people who were working, for instance, as migrant workers. Mm. And those things, given the living conditions there, they are cheaper, a lot more cheaper than things above ground. And now that the government has been keen on improving the living standards, so to speak, and they have tried to root out those apartments, obviously, it's going to have some kind of effect in providing better quality, or at least in eliminating substandard living environments off the market. But what's left to the renters to do? I mean, there are a few options, certainly.
Yeah, I understand that safety is an issue, and previously we've seen major fires break out, and then some tenants don't always make escape from this kind of accident, and it's tragedies that we want to avoid in the future. And so I can understand that there are some good intentions from the government's end. But what I think is absent here is, yes, these people de facto has been driven out of their previous houses that they paid rent for. What's a substitute? I mean, you sort of need to give people other choices, and that is the part that the government possibly need to take up more responsibility or need more thought and planning to fill in that void.
It's safe to say the supply of accommodation hasn't increased according to the increases in demand. I mean, I think I remember reading about stories. I can't remember where, but I know specifically remember that actually in cities where the authorities are trying to auction land, that is with potential to be developed into real estate. Actually, a lot of those land on offer were not sold successfully, precisely because I think the government has been doing a good job at limiting the housing price, and therefore there was a lack of incentive for developers to go and invest in the business. And when you have a shortage of supply in the industry, it's up for every agent or every party in the business to try and make the best out of what's available in the market. And obviously, what's new about the China's apartment renting business is that actually many agents, they are taking on the business by themselves. They are renting apartments from landlords. They are redecorating them and also providing added services. For instance, there's some kind of social networking aspects of it. If you rent an apartment from this company, they sometimes arrange road trips for you and help you get to know other people. So, and in through all these means, through decoration, through all these added services, and they manage to bring the price higher, much higher than they pay for the landlord. And also when those parties engage in fierce competition, they try and offer much higher price than the market allows, and they're offering those prices to landlords. And where are they going to make up for these extra prices? They're going to charge them from the renters.
Well, what if the renters are willing to pay for it and to shoulder the cost? Then one could argue that it's the market doing its job. And here we've seen the latest news came in that local governments have been speaking with these so-called like rent enterprises, these big big companies that have lots of available houses, yes, at hand, and they agreed that they will set a certain ceiling to the rent that is being offered. So, well, at least we see there's one thing that's happening now that's controlling the housing price of these rent